Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A Tottenham Hotspur team crashing out of Europe midweek, 1-0 down and losing Harry Kane to injury, it's fair to say many would have already had the script poised on Sunday. However, in true Pochettino fashion, Spurs showed their character and resilience, which many still question, to fight back and put Bournemouth to the sword, as we have the last word on Spurs.
Cleverly for Sheringham! The Bournemouth goal!
And Defoe all the way!
It could only be Danny Chenoir!
Danny Rose on his Premier League debut! And it's Gareth Bale's night once again! Stoppage time! Alan Nielsen has scored! And the bar finds the net! Lift off for Tottenham Hotspur! Crouch has scored for Spurs!
It's Clinton McConnell! He's got it!
He is the king of North London!
Tottenham lead in Milan! Lennon! 4-4!
Schoolboy's own stuff.
Eriksen, 3-0. The European champions have been taken apart at Wembley.
Kane goes for it! What a goal from Harry Kane!
Dele Alli is the talk of the town for Tottenham Hotspur.
The ball goes to Trunks and scores!
He saved it! Woodgate!
And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run! He scored! Amazing goal!
Hello guys and welcome back to The Last Word on Spurs. As you should know by now, you can follow the show across a variety of different platforms. We are on Twitter at Last Word on Spurs. You can also find us on Facebook and also not forgetting Instagram. On this edition of The Last Word on Spurs, we'll be looking back at the 4-1 thrashing against Bournemouth. We'll be taking a host of questions for tonight's panel and looking ahead to the huge FA Cup quarter-final against Swansea. Before we start tonight's show, I have to say a massive happy birthday to my co-host, Jason McGovern. Jace isn't with us here tonight, but I've got to just say what a pleasure it is doing the show with Jason on a weekly basis. No doubt we'll be hearing Jason's tones back on the show very, very shortly. So let's introduce the guest talking us through the next hour tonight. Back twice in a week, I can't believe I'm saying this. I've got John with me. John, how are you?
Can't get rid of me now, mate. I'm all good. Looking forward to it.
John, it seems like an achievement itself to have you twice in a week. What's going on, John? What's happening? Joining John tonight, we've got a debutant on the show. Really pleased to have him. We've got Jack Rosser with us, the online reporter for The Standard, who covers Tottenham and West Ham. Jack, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, mate. Thank you for having me on.
No problem at all. And it's a shame, Jack, we're not covering the circus down the road, but I'm sure they'll come up in conversation.
I doubt it. I doubt we'll do an hour without speaking about them.
It's true. And finally, last but not least, I'm pleased to say we've got another Jack joining us, a returning one back on the show. We've got the runner of the Hotspur Lane account, Jack Fletcher, back on the show. Jack, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Happy to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Don't be silly. Our pleasure, Jack. Our pleasure. Well, I tell you what, John, can I start with you from the weekend? I mean, let's just say it, John. It was a tremendous amount of character shown by Spurs, who not only had to deal with going behind early on against Bournemouth, but also the loss of Kane. However, John, no fear. Up step the likes of Ali, Son and Oria to ensure that we move up to third and come from behind to win our first league game of the season, John.
Yeah, it weren't bad, was it? I think if anyone was questioning the cojones, to use Troy Deeney's phrase, of this team, then any questions were thoroughly put to bed on Sunday. I think, you know, it's inbuilt within us to think the worst when things like when we make a start like we did. Obviously, could have been 1-0 down already when they hit the crossbar. Then they do score. Mm. Then, as you say, Kane goes off injured, and you're thinking, oh, God, here we go, Groundhog Day. But the team showed massive balls to come back and win, and in the end, it was a really good performance from there on in. I think them going 1-0 up shook us up a little bit and possibly was the best thing that could have happened in the game, to be honest. And it was, although my 3-0 prediction was out the window within 6 minutes, I was still pleased. Obviously, it was a great win, and as you say, up to third now, so onwards and upwards.
Yeah, I bet there wasn't anything out the window, John, at 1-0, was it? That was a bit of a worrying start, to be honest.
Well, I said to my boys, right, might as well turn this off now, lads. But how wrong I was, as usual.
Oh, well, John, it was a great comeback. I mean, Jack, let me bring you in, Jack Rosser, that is. I mean, let's be honest, it looked highly unlikely after that first quarter of an hour that we was going to, you know, maybe come back in the game in the manner we did. But, I mean, do we say, Jack, credit to Pochettino, you know, the introduction of Lamella did seem to help us when many maybe didn't think that was the right substitution. Dele Alli finally ending that goal-scoring drought, and Son, you know, plenty giving us reasons at the moment, Jack, to think maybe we can cope without Kane. Depending on how long he's going to be out.
Son has been fantastic. Mm. I think it is going to be an extended period.
Really?
Without Kane. Obviously, the club are keeping quiet at the moment. There's some swelling on Kane's ankle. They need to wait to go down to get a proper sort of look at the injury. But it seemed very similar to the two injuries he picked up last year. It'll probably be, you know, you'll miss a few games. Having the international break obviously helps. But Son was outstanding yesterday. I think even when the game started, Spurs were sort of, you know, the opening few minutes comfortably in control. That one Stanislas chance sort of shook them. And then from there on, Bournemouth were on top of Wanyama and Sanchez. You know, neither are fantastic on the ball, especially Wanyama, who hasn't had too much game time or as much as he would have liked. So they're on top of them. And then they sort of faded away. The change after Harry Kane came off, of course, it's nothing to do with him coming off. The shape as a player, the shape just didn't really suit with that sort of focal point. So Llorente, interestingly, got up, warmed up, was looking ready to come on, and Poch decided to go with Eric Lamella, and that sort of more electric front three, if you like, with his introduction was just too much for Bournemouth. They couldn't handle it. Did get a bit unlucky with a disallowed goal, but then you can't go and concede another two, and Son was just fantastic again.
Yeah, I mean, incredible form, Son, at the moment. You've got to say, really, really, at the moment, he's coming to the fore. I mean, Jack, bringing it round to you, let me ask you, I mean, going 1-0 down, was you confident the Spurs team would come back and win in such emphatic fashion that it did?
Well, not really. I remember on the way back from Juve, I turned to my mate, I said, oh, this result could kill us here. It could really hamper our season. And then I thought to myself, no, it won't. This is Pochettino's Tottenham. It's not Tottenham of 2012. I thought, you know, I quickly came back on that, and I thought, no, we'll do well at Bournemouth. And then, because they have got some cojones, but I just, when we went 1-0 down, I questioned the team again. I said, oh no, 1-0 down, Kane's gone. We're going to struggle here. It's going to be a long day. And they proved me wrong again. And I'm never, ever going to question the balls of this team again. Pochettino sides do not quit ever, and I think they're another example.
Yeah, very much so. Let me ask you, I mean, there, Jay, you mentioned there about Pochettino teams. Now, he got a lot of stick during the week about, you know, his changes, the substitutions. But again, I refer back to what I said earlier, that he seemed to get a lot of stick for choosing to bring Lamella on, you know, in that first half where we had the injury to Kane. Do you think Pochettino, again, vindicated there? He got his substitution spot on the day with bringing Lamella on.
Yeah, again. I don't know why we still question him. I don't know. He does not deserve questioning at this point in time. I mean, I were happy with whoever he brought on. When Kane initially went down, I was thinking Lamella will come on, and then when Lamella came on, I wasn't surprised until I looked on social media after and people were complaining. But Sonny's our second choice striker. I don't think Llorente is his second choice at the minute. He's not proved nowhere near enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair point. It's a fair point. We have to still consider this Spurs team still unbeaten the Premier League for 2018 as well. So, I mean, so much, shall I say, to talk about with Tottenham at the moment. So many good things, and as we've recovered from that European hangover so, so well. John, let me bring it back round to you. So, in terms of the team, we had Wanyama coming back in the place of Dier, who was only fit enough to make the bench, while Pochettino rotated at the fullback area with Rose and Oria coming in for Davis and Trippier. Was you any surprised, John, by that team? I think you said in our last show that you was expecting to see changes at fullback, wasn't you?
Yeah, I think it was the three changes that were made were the three that I did predict on the last pod. Because, you know, like I say, you got the fullbacks had a difficult time really against Juve, and it's you know, Pochettino does expect a lot of his fullbacks, and to do it again, you know, the turnover between games seems to be all season seems to have been, we're playing midweek with all the replays and stuff we've had. So I weren't surprised to see the changes that he did make, and it, you know, freshened us up a little bit. But, you know, this is the thing about having this, you know, we've got a decent squad there now for the first time in what feels like a while. We've got, you know, we do have options. Like Jay was just saying, you know, when when Kane goes off, you're not necessarily thinking, right, centre forward, because that's probably exactly what Bournemouth and their back four were expecting. Another big lad to play up front, number nine, but it didn't work out that way. Obviously brought on Lamella, and Like was just said, Son's, what, has he got 18 goals, I think, 9 assists in 43 games?
Frightening stats, isn't it? Like, frightening.
That's, you know, better than most other teams' out-and-out striker. So, from that point of view, you know, it worked out lovely, didn't it? And Son, what's he got, 7 in 5 now, 7 in 4, whatever it is, he's on fire.
Yeah, he is absolutely on fire. I mean, let me ask you, Jack, bring it around to you. It was another very strong 11 selected by Pochettino that also came with a wealth of experience on the bench. When you look at the likes of, you know, Trippier and Davis on there in terms of the defensive options, and then you look at the forward options, Jack, in Lamella, Lucas and Llorente. I mean, it is a very strong squad, isn't it? Where many in the past Tottenham fans have complained about, you know, the depth in the squad.
Yeah, it's the way they've done it has worked, again, as it does with Pochettino. Tends to have Poch and Levy. They've sort of built it up over a slow process to the point where you have now, you can look to the bench and see, you know, a few faces that you know Poch will trust. Llorente's maybe not quite there yet. I still sort of think if he had a lot of faith in him, he would have brought him on instead of Lamella at the weekend, regardless of the tactics. If he trusted him, he would have thrown him on. But I was at the Crystal Palace game not too long ago. And you look at their squad, albeit the fact that it's been decimated by injury, and you just look at the bench and the depth is non-existent. And it makes such a difference at this sort of point in the season to have a squad like that when you are still in the FA Cup and you've got to go to places. I mean, it's not gone too well with the replays, but even going to Swansea is going to be a tough one. You need to rely on having a big enough squad to cope with that, especially when it gets towards the end of the season.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, and Jay bringing you in, the squad hopefully will look even stronger once Winks Nnadi-Vierold returns. I mean, we don't know about Harry Kane yet, but again, strength in depth is there, Jay, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been coming along over the last few years, hasn't it? People joining and bringing Harry Winks through. Is he actually injured, Harry?
I mean, Jack, you might know more about this than me. Anything on Harry Winks? He's still injured for you, Jack? Do you know anything about
Harry Winks? I think Poch has said that he is back. He's 100% fit again. It's just a term of reintegrating it into getting match fit again. And of course, you're stuck with a bit of a dilemma there because he needs games to get fit and he'll need games at the highest level to get fit. But this is a discussion myself and one of my colleagues were having not too long ago, in that this Tottenham team is probably the hardest to get back into in the Premier League if you've dropped out through injury, because Pochettino likes things having a bit of a flow. He puts a lot of trust in players. So once you are back, look how long Wink stayed there with other players coming back around him.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen with Wanyama, haven't we, as well? Wanyama hasn't just walked back into this team either.
Precisely, and it may be different with Alderweireld when he gets fit again. Of course, it'll be different with Kane. But it is a hard side to get back into once you return from injury.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Jay, are you concerned by the fact Winks, you know, he's been out for a while? I mean, like Jack says there, can you see him just, you know, walking his way back into this team? I don't think you can you? What do you think?
Nah, I don't really think so, and that says something about our team at minute when I remember Harry Winks at Bernabeu and we were all raving. He was my man at match, and now he can't. I can't even see him on the bench. Maybe it's Sissoko, but I don't know. I think it's just testament to the squad at the minute and what Pochettino's created. It's getting better and better.
It is very much indeed. I mean, John, let me bring it back round to you. I mean, it's fair to say, you know, Bournemouth from the very first minute of that whistle did put pressure on us, didn't give us much time. And we had the first couple of minutes, John, where Stanislas ended up right through the middle, free on goal. And I think, do we give any credit, John, to Lloris coming out, you know, very early off his line to make himself big and force Stanislas into, you know, hitting against the bar?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was terrific goalkeeping by Hugo. I think there would have been some criticism for the way he stayed at home when Dybala was through last Wednesday. Mm. So I don't think he was ever going to let that happen again. Obviously, Stanislas was a lot closer in when he finally touched the ball. But yeah, he put pressure on him. It made him make a split decision. And let's be honest, he's not the greatest of players, Junior Stanislas, is he? So it was. I think it was good keeping. And he did well there. You know what I mean? If that ends up being one and then two follows soon, then it would have been, you know, maybe game over after inside the opening 10 minutes. But listen, it's the same as what Jay was saying there about people questioning Pochettino. Like, it's difficult to do that with the players as well. You're talking about Hugo Lloris, captain of France, one of the best goalkeepers in the history of our club.
Very much so, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one of them. There's talent. There's such a dearth of talent. Sorry, depth of talent all the way through that squad. And I heard Mido talking last week about the need for us to sign a top keeper. And I'm thinking, Jesus, mate, you played with shite when he was at Spurs.
He did indeed. Yeah, he did.
But yeah, no, I'll credit Hugo there, definitely. If he'd have stayed on his line, he can aim for either post there, Stanislas. In the end, he had to go over the keeper. Ultimately, of course, he hit the bar, so worked out all right for us.
Yeah, very much so. Let me bring it over to you, Jack. Do you find that, I mean, on the back of what was, let's be honest, it was a gruelling, you know, Wembley tie on the Wednesday when we went out to Juventus in the Champions League. Do you think that could be, you know, a little bit of an excuse for the reason behind the sloppy start and the slow start against Bournemouth at the weekend?
I think that would have played on their minds. Like I said earlier, they did in the opening minutes. It was all Tottenham. Bournemouth didn't get a look in. And then as soon as that chance comes through, I think it was a really simple ball from Lewis Cook to just sort of cut the back four open.
Mm.
And from there, Spurs would have had something playing on their mind. You know, you get a lot can be said that they'll ignore about the sort of mentality of the side, and most notably Chiellini, but that sort of got brought up a lot after the game to the manager and to the players. And it's something that then would have started ringing in a couple of their minds, and Bournemouth smelt that. And For a good 15-20 minute spell, they were rattled and they were very shaky. But then again, it's testament to the side that they sort of settled from that and wore Bournemouth down, essentially.
Yeah, very much so. Let me ask you, Jay. I mean, are you concerned by, we do see some of the times away from home, these slow starts to games? Do you ever worry it may cost us? You know, we're going to the business end of the season now. We need to really be at it every single game, don't we, away from home and also at Wembley as well?
Yeah, maybe in times gone past, I think we have started slow away from home, but I think that's just Bournemouth. Credit to Bournemouth. They do that every home game, every away game. They start on the front foot from the first whistle and they do tire. And I think we were expecting it and tried to ride it a little bit, but obviously they got the early goal and it made it hard from there. But Bournemouth are a team that do come out first half pressure, second half pressure, and you've got to survive them waves. Sometimes away from home, you've just got to ride it.
Yeah, and it's fair to say, I mean, we did ride it eventually, but John, I've got to bring it round to you. I mean, like Jack said there, Bournemouth did take the lead. It seemed that we never heeded that warning early on, as minutes later we had, you know, from that chance, the expert, Adam Smith, beating Rose far too easily, John, down his left-hand side. And this time, Stanislas made no mistake. I mean, you maybe argue, John, that, you know, Aurier, he failed to win the header in the air. I mean, I hate to say it, John, seeing defending like that makes you think maybe we should pay Toby what he wants. I don't know. What do you think?
I think, yeah, it was just basic errors from both the fullbacks, unfortunately, I think, within quick succession. You had Rose being turned so quick, so easily there by Smith, who weren't sitting off and he weren't going too tight. He was just sort of in between and he still managed to get skinned. I think that you put that down to rustiness, you know, the fact that Rose ended up having to go off suffering with fatigue, as Pochettino says, maybe, you know, it suggests that he obviously hasn't had a lot of football lately, and he was feeling it a little bit. And then Aurier gets sucked underneath the ball, which can, it, listen, it can happen. He's, one thing you can say about Serge Aurier is he's always eager to make an impact on the game.
Oh, yes, he is. Oh, Serge.
which he managed to do in a positive way later on in the game, obviously. But
yeah.
Up to then, you're thinking, well, now you can see why Davies and Trippier have started against Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United, Real Madrid, Juventus. You know what I mean? So it's all good, really. You know, I might be saying something different if we'd have ended up losing 1-0, but the fact that it didn't happen again in the game is obviously a good thing. And yeah, listen, it was always going to be a tough game, just because of what happened on Wednesday. As we all said, you don't know which Spurs is going to turn up. How are they going to be? Are they going to be bruised and beaten after what happened on Wednesday? And after going 1-0 down, losing your best striker, still winning 4-1, you know what I mean? As Jay said earlier, I think we can stop questioning them now.
Yeah, you've got to give him a huge amount of credit. I mean, let me ask you, Jack, bringing it round to you. Do you think, you know, in that early period where we do concede, do you think that also is down to the fact that, you know, with the rotation of fullbacks, that little bit of rustiness being there, does that play an element of factor into it, do you think?
It can do. I think Pochettino is quite clever with his rotation. It does happen a lot, but you do sort of look back and think Davies has had a strong start in big games, and that keeps going. I think it was Rose's first start in the Premier League since Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I thought he had a bit of a shocker. And the injury at the end was very strange, because he sort of, the whole bench had been signalling to him for about 2 or 3 minutes to go down, and then he hobbled off, and then comes out that Pochettino saying it's fatigue. But I think it might, the rotation going back to that might be a bit of an element. Whether it's that, I mean, historically Poch has always wanted to start quite quickly, but I think what's changed is, regardless of how they start, and it happened a lot earlier in the season at home against your Swansea's and your Brighton's, that they have started to find a way through. Even those games where it was nervous and it was close and you sort of felt like you'd seen the same game 4 or 5 times before, they're finding a way to come back or come through those moments.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. You've got to say that. I mean, that does seem to be very much the case here. I mean, Jay, let me bring it over to you. You've always been, we had you on the show previously, you've been a fan of Danny Rose. I know you've had some kind of connection with him. What have you made of him since his comeback? Is he trying, do you think he's trying too hard? Is he not trying hard enough? What are you thinking about when you see Danny Rose at the moment on a football pitch playing for Tottenham?
Oh, I couldn't say anything about how much he's trying, or I don't know, no one knows, but his performances aren't showing. And I seen something on Twitter the other day about Danny Rose laying the battle lines and Pochettino winning the war, and it does look that way. I don't think there is any way for Danny back into this team. I don't think if he put in a good performance against Bournemouth, which he didn't, that he'd be in line for a starting next Premier League game. I don't think there is a way back for him, no matter what he does. I think he knows that himself. He looked very rusty against Bournemouth. A very, very bad cross at one point where he just evaded everyone out for a goal kick. And it's not Danny that we know. It's not. He was the best left back in the country by a country mile. And I don't know what to say about Danny anymore.
He's tried to even cut his hair to try and get back to form. Is that an argument? What do you think?
Maybe.
But do you think, Jay, as well, do we also have to give a huge amount of credit to Ben Davies? Because I think it's fair to say, I mean, Davies himself now has made that left-back spot, Jay. You know, he's undroppable, isn't he, there, the way he's played this season? So consistent.
Yeah, he is, and it's testament to Ben. I think when Ben originally signed, this was the reality that we all foresaw, that Ben Davies was going to nail down that spot because Danny Rose was going through a tough time before Pochettino arrived.
That's very true. That's a good point. Yep.
We all thought that Ben would eventually be, or at that point when we signed him, be our starting left back. And from there, Danny kicked on. And I think it's testament to both of them that they just bring the best out of each other. And I think it goes back to what Jack was saying earlier about the strength in this squad. When you come out of it, it's very hard to get back in because the replacements now can put in very good performances, and when they're doing that, they're going to stay in the team. Yeah, done.
Very much true. John, let me get your thoughts about Danny Rose at the moment. I mean, like I said there, I think for me personally, I think Davies has made that spot his own. And as we've said in the show so far, it does seem very hard a team once you're out of it to get back in it. Is there any way back for him, John, do you think, in this team?
I think, listen, the difficulty is now we haven't got any, you know, in years gone by, the way people would get their chance in the first team was via early round League Cup ties and Europa League games. Yep. Obviously, we've moved on as a club from that now, and you don't have, you know, that's why I was, in my opinion, the replays against Newport and Rochdale were vitally important. I didn't see any issue with, all right, you don't want to be drawing it away at teams like that, really. But what it did do is it allowed Poch each time to change pretty much a whole 11 and give other players a chance to play. Now, in Poch's first season, we saw the likes of Ben Davies and Harry Kane and that playing in the Europa League. And like I say, he doesn't have the opportunity to blood players anymore like that. You can't be putting more than one or two in maybe, in not even less important league games, because, you know, it's a cliche, but every game's tough in the Premier League.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, as Jack rightly said just then, like when Davies did come in, you know, I don't suppose anyone would have minded or cared really if Rose had gone at that point. And then it became abundantly clear pretty quickly that the signing of Davies had given Rose a massive kick up the arse, and he turned into the player that he was.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, after that, in Pochettino's second season, he was magnificent, Rose, and it was him playing in all the bigger games. But as time goes by, and the comments that Rose made, I suppose, didn't help much, let's be honest.
No.
But Ben, the thing is, each time Ben Davies plays, even if you personally favour Rose, you look at him and you go, what has he done to deserve to be dropped?
Yeah, it's true.
And 99% of the time, the answer's nothing. He doesn't. He doesn't deserve to be dropped, therefore he isn't dropped. And let's be honest, although I thought Rose was okay, I wouldn't say he was terrible yesterday, I would say he was great. But one thing you can say is that the quality of delivery from both sides, apart from Aurier's assist, let's not forget he did chuck a few stray ones in there, is the quality of delivery on Trippier and Davies is much, much higher than it is consistently from Rose and from Aurier,
yep.
In my opinion. Yeah. You know, we get a lot more goals coming from assists for, you know, just take Arsenal at home the other week. That cross, that peach to the ball by Ben Davies.
Davies, yeah, very much so.
And then, you know, the assist, or a different one, but the assist for Son against Juve by Trippier.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's all about keeping calm, keeping your nerve in them positions. And I think that Rose and Aurier maybe are trying a little bit too hard, whereas Davies and Trippier are a little bit more, you know, they seem a little bit more natural within that fit, especially as actual out-and-out fullbacks. Maybe if Toby comes back and we play three centre-halves again, maybe it will change. The dynamic of the team changes, obviously. But for me, if you're playing a flat back forward, and Trippier and Davies are the number ones on both sides for me. But again, you know, as you said, it is difficult to get back into this team, and that's a great thing, because it hasn't always been. We've had to chuck our fit players.
It's true. Yeah, it's a good point.
To get a decent 11 on the pitch.
Yeah, it just shows now the quality of the squad, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And this is what happens when you give a manager time. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, next game, Pochettino would have managed more Tottenham games than any other manager in the Premier League era. Which, all right, we have got through some managers, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
In that time, let's not debate that. But the fact that he's managed to keep this, you know, he's kept most of us happy as well. I say most of us because I know one or two are
You can't please everyone, John, can you?
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I would say Rose is going to find it difficult to become our first choice left back again, and I wouldn't put any money on him being so for England either at the World Cup, I'm afraid, at the minute.
Mm. Well, let's come on. Before that equaliser, we had obviously the injury to Kane. Now, it's a stat that we should read out, that Tottenham have won 10 of the last 16 games that Kane didn't start in all competitions last season. When he went down, Jack, coming round to you, I mean, at the time, he looked fairly innocuous. It was more of a collision, wasn't it? Because ball was in the net, it was correctly adjudged offside. Do you think when he went down, you saw straight away, Jack, he was in a lot of discomfort?
It was a strange one, yeah. You didn't really see the sort of severity of it until we got our replays on the screen in the press box. But it went down and he sort of obviously went to hold his ankle straight away and just grimaced and looked straight to the bench. And as much as you could sort of see when he got back to the dugout, he was talking about coming back on, the way he walked round, didn't pay much attention to any of the subs warming up. There were three of them out there. Llorente tried to chat to him on his way past, didn't really give any of them a second thought, just a quick sort of like high five and kept his head down and walked off. It looked like he knew, and then
he went straight down the tunnel shaking his head, and I think he knew straight away it's not just a simple knock.
Yeah. I mean, Jack, the show's obviously going to go out on Tuesday morning. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you to sit and put a prediction on it, but from what you've seen, I think you said earlier, it's a case of it's such swelling at the moment. The club can't do a scan, can they, at the moment, due to the severity of the swelling?
He was due to have a scan today. I'm not entirely sure whether he did or not, but there was a bit of swelling, so they couldn't get the clearest of pictures. But I think my colleague, Tom Colomossi, wrote today that there was a, from sort of lunchtime, there was an announcement due within 24 hours. So I'd expect something tomorrow from the club on how long it's going to be. And of course, I think he is going to miss the England squad, which is announced on Thursday.
Right. And gut feeling, Jack, do you think this is a season-defining injury? Would you want to put your neck out and say that, or you don't, or you just seriously don't know on the basis of what
I would, on a Tottenham perspective.
On a Tottenham perspective.
I don't think so. I think, you know, we've seen a bit last season. He maybe fizzled out towards the end of the games he was covering Kane for. But Son's been a different player in the last few months. He's taken his game to another level. So I think they'll be all right with Son playing through the middle.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, Joe, bringing it round to you now. From what we understand about, you know, the understanding of Kane's injury, depending on what it is, there's like grade one for stretched ligaments but no tear itself. That's 1 to 3 weeks for a full recovery. Then you have kind of grade two, which is like a partial tearing of the ligaments, which is 4 to 6 weeks. Then you have kind of grade three, which is a complete tear of the ligaments, which is 8 to 12 months for a full recovery and heal. If I had to ask you, Jay, I mean, what do you think gut feeling when you saw him go down? How concerned should we be about it? Because, I mean, Jack says there, Son has been in great form, but what do you think?
I don't know. Like you said, when you first saw it, it didn't seem awfully bad, did it?
No. Yeah.
Normally he gets up from stuff like that, but it wasn't until you've seen the replay and how he turned his ankle that you're thinking it looks pretty bad. And it looked to me, I'm no expert, but the one at Millwall, the still photos of the twisted ankle there, it looks pretty worse than that. And I don't know how we'll cope without him. I'm just happy that Son is in form.
Yeah.
Obviously, it changes the dynamic of the team with Son up front. And I just think that it's now a test of our character again.
Again, yeah. We've
got to go again.
Very much so. John, let me ask you about Kane. Listen, there's no doubt this guy's our talisman. But have you seen enough in this Tottenham squad to think that we can cope without him if it is a sustained period?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what would give me hope is the fact that, you know, if you remember the one against Sunderland last season, he had to be stretched off. Mm. Now, the one at Millwall, which Jay was just talking about, he walked off that day as well, I believe. And I think, from memory, he missed 4 games, of which we won all 4 without him.
It's true, yep. Yeah, it was, yeah.
And it was 12 months ago today, the Millwall game. So, and I think we had a nicely timed international break then as well, didn't we? So, hopefully, you know, a 10 days of that enforced absence would have been wasted, let's be honest, with international friendlies anyway. So it's not come at the worst time, really. You know, if this had happened before we went on that run of Man United, Arsenal, the one that we come out of in January, February, that there may be talking about different levels of arsehole pouting going on in the Spurs fans camp. But at the minute, you've got to be confident in this squad, in this team.
Oh,
when it happened yesterday. Like I said earlier, we all said, oh, here we go again. We're going down the gurgler. But we didn't. We ended up scoring 4 goals without him. The 35-goal man, wasn't there.
John, and we still scored 4 goals. Let me ask you something, John, on that point. You know, this is, and again, I might get vilified for saying this. Do you think, John, we played better when Kane wasn't on the field? And don't get me wrong, that's not me saying I want Kane to not be, you know, injured for, you know, Kane to be injured for a long time. But I'm just saying, do you think on the day, John, do you think it suited us better not playing with Kane? Because the scoreline would suggest so.
No, I don't think it helped that he wasn't there.
Just in terms of the shape, because it seemed like, you know, everything. Obviously, when teams play us, they draw, you know, to Harry Kane. Do you think it just seemed like we seem to play better in the second half without him? And listen, I love Kane, and we need him on this pitch. Don't get me wrong, we need Kane back. Don't get me wrong, but just see what I mean in terms of that game itself.
Well, I think what it does is when you've got a centre forward who's as good as he is, when he goes off the pitch, it might unsettle your own team, but it unsettles the defence of the other side as well. Because all week they would have been working on how you're going to combat Harry Kane.
Yeah, very much
and
so.
And 30 minutes into the game, he's not there. So they're like, right, who do we pick up now? And for every one of our goals, there was enough space afforded to the right player at the right time for us to score. And maybe if Kane's on the pitch, that doesn't necessarily happen because the attention is drawn to him and that's where the ball's going. So it, what it does is, like I said before, when you're playing against sides like Bournemouth, like, you know, who are in that region in the league table, they're not going to play beautiful free-flowing attacking football for the entire game. They are going to sit in at times. And having small, nimble, little, skillful players, when you're trying to break down that sort of system, it does work. And obviously, after we went 2-1 down and Bournemouth have to come out and try and play, we just sat there, soaked it up, and the third goal was, like, unbelievable in terms of the amount of space that they left. You know, first of all, Son does really well there. He forces the Bournemouth player to take a square free kick, which then means we can break out quickly. We win the ball, and 10 seconds later, you know, the ball's in the net again. So they're all intelligent players as well. They all know their jobs. They all know what to do in this kind of scenario. And they obviously didn't panic. And in the end, it was a great win without Kane.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be clear. I want to make it clear from why, because you know what this show's like. We want Kane back. Don't get me wrong. Listen, we're all fingers crossed and praying and hoping that Kane's injury is a long term. We've got massive games to come, though. We're going to need Kane. The likes of the Man City's, the likes of the Chelsea, and John, obviously, Cup, still in the FA Cup. We need him back, don't we, as soon as possible?
Yeah, that's the worry. Yeah. You know, you'd say up to this point in the season, our biggest game is going to be this Saturday coming away at Swansea in the Cup.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, yeah, obviously there's a worry. But, you know, again, it's you don't want to underestimate the opposition, but there's worse teams to be playing this weekend without Kane. That's how I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
And obviously when we played Swansea away in the league, Kane didn't come on until later on in the game. And, you know, we managed to we squeezed out a 2-0 win there, didn't we? So with Llorente starting up front. So it's never good to lose one of your best players or any of the squad, but we have coped all season with constant injuries.
Yeah.
Wanyama's been out for long periods of time.
He was Adeviro as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got Wanyama was our player of the season last year. You got Toby, who's one of the best in Europe. You know what I mean? They've all had spells on the sidelines, and we've coped really well. And, you know, we're now talking about, as the boys were saying earlier, Harry Winks, who was magnificent in the Bernabeu, can't even get on the bench nowadays. So, you know, maybe when one door closes, another door opens for someone else, and we'll see.
Yeah.
But no, we'll be all right.
Jack, I want to come back round to you. So we spoke initially at the start of the show about Serge Aurier and maybe the bad side we see of him defensively. But, you know, in that first half, we then see him put a delightful ball in for Dele Alli. I mean, I've got to ask you, Jack, you know, being at the games watching Aurier, do you think, and I might be going crazy here, for all of his faults, I just see so many of his negative parts I saw in Rose and Walker's game. Do you think I'm mad to think, you know, give him a season under Pochettino, his coaching, that is going to turn him into a top-class fullback? Am I going crazy, Jack? What do you reckon?
Well, there is certainly an aspect of that. He's done it. I'm not sure of his record with it at Espanyol, but he's done it since he's been in the Premier League. Mm. He turned Luke Shaw into the most expensive teenager in football at the time when he was sold to Manchester United.
Yep.
He got Callum Chambers, who has had a strange career since he left Southampton. He had him starting over Nathaniel Clyne every week, and Clyne, you know, when he's fit, when he's had a run of games, is a fantastic fullback. So he's clearly very good, and obviously everyone knows what he did with Walker, what he did with Rose, Trippier and Davies now. Mm. So there is, of course, a long way for Aurier to come. And I asked Pochettino about it after the Crystal Palace game when he did his three foul throws, and I think he did another one yesterday as well, actually, having survived the Huddersfield game without doing one. But there is, of course, a sense of that. But I do think that, you know, the goal and the assist sort of masked a fairly poor performance yesterday. He was, like you mentioned earlier, for the first goal, he was drawn straight into the middle, completely forgetting about Stanislas behind him. And there are always some nervy moments watching him. So you'd expect Pochettino to be able to iron them out, but sort of keep the eccentric side of his game alive to some extent, because that does help going forward. But no, there's plenty of reasons to have hope that Pochettino will do with him what he's done with almost every other fullback before him.
Yeah, I mean, I just think from like a rashness perspective, we saw the same, as I said there, with Walker and with Rose. I mean, Jay, let me come around to you. David McClure asked the question, thoughts that Serge left back, played well against Salah at Wembley as well. Is that a potential position for him, do you think, Jay? What do you think?
I'm not so sure. I've seen it everywhere that he had a good game against Salah, and I really didn't think he did. I thought he struggled. I really did. I thought Salah got in a few times, and his goalie also got in. And I'm not sure about starting left back because I've not really seen him use his left foot. I'm not a fan of.
Are you sold on him at all, Jay? Are you sold on him at all? Do you think he can turn it around with Pochettino's coaching?
Yeah, definitely. It goes back to what you say. Danny Rose used to be a lot worse than the current Sergio Aurier. I remember Danny Rose at the Emirates stood on halfway line turning backwards and forwards three, four times. Mm. And then Danny Rose, the player that he was last season, and I just think you see a lot of Danny Rose and old Kyle Walker in Sergio Aurier. I said to my friend the other day that I think there is hope for Sergio Aurier, but with every passing game, it just diminishes, and I don't know. I like to see him have another season next year. And I think another thing to say with Serge is, when he was signed, I think the dynamic of the team was five at the back with him supposed to come in as a wing-back.
Yeah.
And I think that would take a lot of pressure off him. I don't think he is an out-and-out full-back. I think he would flourish more in a wing-back system, and I think that's gone against him with Toby's injury.
Yeah,
maybe next season we might see a better Serge playing at wing back. I'm not so sure.
You made a great point there. You made a great point there, because there's no doubt about it, Jay, that he does seem better going forward, doesn't he? That's the fact.
Yeah,
I mean, John, let me ask you. Minty Bloke says, "Have we found our Danny Rose replacement at left back in Serge Aurier?" What do you make of that one?
Well, as I just said, I'm not sure that he's got any kind of future at left back. He needs to. Well, I don't want to be too harsh on him, but I actually agree with Jack. They highlighted on Match of the Day Harry had a good game, and I was a bit like, well, this is if you get a goal and assist, it masks all the other nonsense that you managed to do during the game. And I think that one good thing you can say about Serge is he literally seems to have no clue what he's about to do. So that means nor
unpredictable, John, is he? Just absolutely nuts. He's most berserk. He's just berserk, isn't he? You just don't know what he's going to do. And even, John, some of his pictures in celebrations, they are cracking. The one with him and Sonny at the weekend. What a cracking picture that was, John.
Yeah, that was. It's not. It's, you know, I've always been a fan of the handshake, especially with Sonny. You know, a year or two ago, I remember seeing things in the mainstream media about them looking like silly boys and stuff, but I love it. I think it shows a real camaraderie and friendship there. So long may it continue. But yeah, with Aurier, listen, I don't think you can judge any player in a Pochettino team until they've had at least one full pre-season.
I think that's fair, yeah.
So we come back in 12 months' time. If we're still talking about an absolute basket case, then maybe then hope is lost, but at the minute, absolutely not. I'm with him 100%. And you think, you know, like I say, we get through a pre-season with him and see what he's like this time next year, because he came in late, obviously, as is the Spurs way in the summer transfer window, unfortunately.
Of course. Yeah.
And it can hinder. But listen, I still think it's the same as Llorente. When you go back to the summer, on paper at least, Aurier and Llorente were exactly what this squad needed. And you just got to give them time. And the good thing about Serge is obviously he's only 24, 25. He's got a lot. He's, you know, he's not peaked yet. His best days are still to come. And, I think he's in the right place. And, you know, as Jack said, if you look at Pochettino's exemplary record at improving fullbacks, then he's in the best place and he's in the right hands at least.
Let's talk about another player that has come under pressure. And that needs us nicely. I want to speak about Dele Alli. I mean, Jack, coming round to you, I mean, he was mentioned on the end of Aurier's cross for that vital equaliser and then shushed the Bournemouth fans, who had given him stick all game. I mean, the opposition fans never learn that. That almost seems to fire him up, Jack, in a way.
He thrives off it. He really enjoys it. We've spoken to him about it after games before, and he sort of brushes off criticism from you know, the media, from ourselves, and things that get written about him, criticisms that get made about diving. But then if you go out there and from minute one, wherever he's been this season since the diving thing took another spike, he's been vilified by every set of fans, whether it's at Wembley and they're in the away end, whether you're on the road with them, they all turn and they enjoy him. He's a pantomime villain, but he really, really thrives off it and enjoys proving people wrong.
Do you find it surprising, Jack? This guy's an English lad. Everyone's going to be supporting him at the World Cup, and yet he's given so much criticism when he's on the road. Can you understand that, Jack?
I did think about that. Sort of when he was getting booed, I just sort of thought,
what happens next season if he does have a good World Cup.
Well, and, yeah,
and comes back. But things like that are quickly forgotten in football. It's the way it goes. I mean, give it not even until the end of the season and there'll be a new sort of villain in the Premier League. It was Alexis Sanchez towards the end of his time at Arsenal. Fans around the country sort of started to turn on him and he got a bit of a hard time. So it'll come around where he'll do something at the World Cup or he'll do something magic in the Premier League and people will maybe give him an easier ride again.
Yeah, I mean, let me bring it around to you, Jay. I mean, I find it staggering with Dele Alli that not does he only get, you know, stick from his opposition, he gets stick from his own supporters, Jay, at times. I mean, this guy has reached 10-plus goals in all competitions for a third successive season. He's assisted 9 goals this season. I mean, I have to always reiterate the point, Jay, that he's only 21 years old and it's only his third full Premier League season. I mean, why is there such, you know, hate for Dele Alli out there from certain sections of even Spurs fans, dare I add?
I don't know. I love him. I absolutely love him. I think he's the most underappreciated player in our squad just because of the amount of stick he does get. And I just think he's absolutely brilliant. When at the Juve game, I made a point of watching him and I just think he's so intelligent for his age. He could play anywhere on a football pitch and he's a joy to watch and he's backing it up with the stats again after people are criticising him. I think it's only De Bruyne and Sané that got more assists in the mid-league and nobody thought of him as being a guy that can make assists. But there is a reason why he's undroppable at the minute and it's not just because Pochettino is his mate. It's more than that and I think it's starting to show now. Especially when he goes away from home, he loves it. He absolutely thrives off it, doesn't he?
Yeah,
there's a few times now we've seen him cup his hand to his ear, Swansea away, and
yes, true,
Bournemouth away. Yeah, he loves the big moments, and that's why he's in the team. He creates moments.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely spot on. He does create the moments. I mean, Jared Ilias, I was coming around to you, John. Just how much of a bastard is Dele, winding up opposition players and fans? Everything we've craved in a footballer for years, John.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we love about him. Because in the past, our horrible little players in our team have been players like Mauricio Tirico and Michael Brown.
Stefan Freund.
Yeah. But the difference is Dele can back it up.
Yes, true.
Because, yeah, he can be that pantomime villain and an arsehole on the pitch, but then he also knows that he's going to get the opportunity to cup his ears to the crowd. And the thing is, with going back to what you were saying about a World Cup approach, you know, honestly, Ricky, I don't buy that. If there's a World Cup approaching, would you all of a sudden start liking John Terry?
No, that's a fair point, John. No, I get your point there. But does he deserve what he gets, John? What has he done to what, you know, John Terry, I don't care in saying this, John Terry has got reasons out there for you to dislike him. I don't understand what Dele Alli is, you know, all this diving stuff. You know, so many players dive. No, don't get me wrong, it's a part of his game he's got to work on. But what does he deserve, John, the abuse he gets? I don't get it.
Do you know what I think it is, Rick? I think I'll blame it on the heavy Liverpool presence in Sky Sports and BT Sport and stuff because they obviously don't like us since the 2-2 there at Anfield. It's all been going on about, you know, they're still not over it there.
No, they're not.
They drew that day. And I think when you're talking about, I don't know, I'm not questioning the integrity of people here. They get paid to do a job. But when you get people like Jamie Carragher constantly going on about it and then I'm not saying you'd like bit United fans by the way. Up in Kent, I know exactly how he feels because I've been surrounded by a lot of them for all my life. But I just think it's that constant media agenda. You know what I mean? It's like I've said many times when you're talking about players coming and going and stuff. I don't understand why not more players are linked with Tottenham because can't be many places, especially as a younger player. There can't be many places on the planet where you're going to get more of a chance and the chance to succeed in terms of playing, getting enough playing time and making a name for yourself. Because, you know, we can back this up. That's what Poch has done. And the fact that our players are linked with moves away, excuse me, constantly. But yet, over the last 12 years, Liverpool have won exactly what we've won. And they have continued to sell their best players regularly.
Yeah, Suarez, that's a good point.
Coutinho, players like this.
Yeah.
But no one ever says the same or levels the same kind of stuff at them as they do at us. So each time I see it, I just ignore it that little bit more now, to be honest with you. Because you see, like, Harry Kane and Hugo Lloris, there was that video of them walking out onto the what will be the pitch at the new stadium. And Harry's saying, I can't wait to play here and score some goals here. But that will be ignored.
Yeah, and
he will
be.
Still get linked with moves away.
Yeah.
Even though he's literally come out and said, Listen, he doesn't have to say that, Rick.
No, he doesn't have to. No, he doesn't. You're right.
There's a reason why that video, that promotional video for the new stadium, involved the captain, Hugo Lloris, and our best player, most valuable player, Harry Kane. It's because both you listen to both of them. They're not going nowhere.
No.
Mm-hmm. So if and you'd like to think that they'd be two of the players we'd struggle to replace the most, right? And they're not going nowhere. So I don't get why that continues to happen. Firstly,
can I jump in there quickly and just
give me your perspective.
The Dele Alli thing, I think it is something that is talked about too much. There is too much of a heavy focus on it. But I don't know if it comes from a media agenda in the sense that I've never ever come across anyone in a press room in a press role that has a sort of agenda against one's team. A lot of people are professional enough to put their sort of bias aside somewhat. But Pochettino spoke about, even Roy Hodgson spoke about, I mean, he does love Dele Alli to bits. I think he'd rather watch him than his own team sometimes. But they both said that, look, it's just something that is talked about too much. And I think it happens in a high-profile game. And then you go somewhere to, say, Crystal Palace, where it is a bit of a London derby, and then it just goes straight through and it's come straight back up again. So I don't know if it's there is too heavy a media focus on it, but I wouldn't say it comes from a media agenda of somebody wanting to dig him out. I think it also comes into the fact that he's young, but yeah, it is something that's talked about too much in every aspect, really.
Mm. I think the difference is, Jack, there's a difference between a press box or a press room or whatever and these the same people and their Twitter accounts. I look at people like John Cross, who's obviously, he's a massive gooner.
I know what you mean, but I just have to say, from my experience, I've never come across anyone with a sort of strong bias in that sort of side of reporting.
But what do you make, John, if you want to just say the stats about Dele? I mean, he's involved, like I say, in 25 goals for Tottenham in all the competitions this season. That's 10 goals, 15 assists. And you look at his stats in for the last, 3 years. You know, granted, I think 2017-2018, he had 10 goals. 2016-2017, he had 22. 2015-2016, 10. I mean, John, we're talking about a guy that has been consistent for Spurs for the last three seasons. Do you think, even from our own supporters, John, there should be, a bit more of appreciation for Dele, like, Jay has said as well there?
I think deep down there is. I just think there's so much bandwagon jumping that goes on nowadays, Rick, because it's like we've said before, these are conversations in the past that you would have had with your brother or with your mate down the pub or whatever. Yeah. Now it happens on social media and everyone's opinion is forced. That the people could be quite forceful with it and it's magnified due to that. And I think that if you was to be, walking along the concourse inside Wembley when we next play at home and ask people, then you'd get a different kind of answer from a lot of people. Because, listen, what it is with him, I think, we know he's so good and we know that he's only going to get better.
Yeah.
Right? That's fact. But sometimes, and Spurs fans are notoriously fickle and a lot of us lack patience. And I think that's all it is, because you get a player that does it once, and then they expect it to happen again and again and again. And if it doesn't, Dele Alli was better last season, I feel. His general performance was better last season. But then last season, he ends up getting sent off in the Europa League, which means he missed three Champions League games this season. Just little things like that.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't help himself a lot of the time. But 100%, without a doubt, I'd much rather he be playing for my team than any other, because you know that, regardless of whether you like him or not, you know that he does affect games.
Of course.
And that's what these people get paid for. And he does it week after week. Even if he's not scoring or assisting. You look at the game against Huddersfield a couple of weeks ago. He got an assist for the first goal. And then he puts pressure on the left back, which gets Kane the ball, who then crosses for Son to score to make it two. And that goes under the radar. But not by us, it doesn't.
No, of course not.
But then you know what it's like, Rick. If you pick up on saying that one of our players has done ever so well, and you go, and again, you force that on social media, and then you get accused of being a happy clapper.
Yeah, you can't win, can you? You cannot win either way. But one guy that is getting all the appreciation, and rightly so, is Heung-min Son. And Jay, let me bring it round to you. I mean, listen, with Sonny, you've got to say, Alli then went from goal scorer to creator to play a wonderful cross into Sonny. Let's be fair, Jack. I mean, it was a slightly fortuitous volley. I mean, I've got to say to you, Jay, many label this Spurs team a one-man team. It's very much not the case, is it, with Sonny?
No, it's definitely not. Sonny, Sonny epitomises everything that a young footballer should want to be. He works hard and he gets his chances during games and he'll do anything for the team. He's not happy. He's happy. I mean, just to be told he's going to sit on the bench, he don't kick up a fuss if it's best for the team. You know, he knows he'll be coming on and get a chance then. I just think that he just epitomises everything. And talking about his goal, that's the second fortuitous one, isn't it? In 2 weeks, the one against Juventus came off his left foot. And
yeah.
He's just getting all the luck at the minute. Long may it continue. He's brilliant to watch, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, what have you made of him? Can he, do you think, sticking with you, Jay, do you think he can step up now? We've got a period where we may lose Kane, you know, for a while. Can Sonny become that number nine for hopefully a small period whilst Kane gets back to fitness?
Well, I hope so. And I think if Kane's injury could have come at any time, and it is going to be long term, I would like it to be now, because I remember when I don't know if he was injured or the Man City game last year at White Hart Lane,
yeah,
where Son started up top and we absolutely terrorised them, pressing them from the front. And we have got City coming up in a couple of weeks. I think Son starting would be better for the team. If Kane's not out, if he's fit, then play him. But if not, I am very happy to see Son start up front for that game, because he will pressure them and they don't like it. Otamendi's not the best on the ball, and I think we'll cause some problems with Son. I think he can really step up in these weeks.
Jack, let me come round to you. Let me talk to you about Son. I mean, this guy, he continues to bang the goals in week after week. I mean, he's a simply incredible player, Jack, that, you know, many would say he would be the key figurehead for anyone else's team. 18 goals alone this season. I mean, anything else you can add to the Heung-min Son superlatives, Jack, that we've heard on this show?
What we sort of noticed the other day, and he's... You can tell he's sort of getting that confidence back. It's always been a strange situation with Son. He seems the sort of only player on that side that if he doesn't have, you know, if he has two sort of fairly quiet games, that's it. Pochettino doesn't sort of trust him to come through.
And he brings Lamella in.
Precisely. But what you sort of started to see coming through from him, once he got moved into the middle, once he'd sort of, you know, almost turned things around on his own a little bit, before it went off and was 4-1, there was a moment where he and Dele Alli sort of gave him a lot of stick after one move broke down. And usually you'd see Son just sort of accept that and be like, yeah, all right. But he properly gave it back to him. So he's now starting to realise the role he's got, and he's taking on a more of a leadership role in the side. And he's doing that through performances.
Yeah, he is. I mean, like I say, the guy at the moment is in phenomenal form. John, we have you on quite regularly on this show. Is there anything you can add to, like we say, the Heung-min Son loving that we haven't said about Sonny?
Yeah, I think the thing is, like, it's nice to see, like, that clip that Jack was just talking about there. That was good. It's like, you know, he found his place in the team. He's more comfortable within it now. And he wants to try and stamp his authority on it. And he had a chance to complete a hat-trick. He had a left-footed shot, which was well saved by Begovic. And he was disappointed. But I just want to say thanks to all the Spurs fans that were down here yesterday that finally rolled that song out for him.
About time, wasn't it, John? About time he had a song?
You know what? I don't know whether it actually makes a difference, you know, because we've had Hugo Lloris since 2012 and we just shout at Hugo every time he makes a save. You can't really class that as a song, but it's nice to know that they're appreciated and that they, you know, for them to know it as well, because you get the same songs get rolled out every week and it's nice to add another one to our repertoire and to... And to, you know, start singing about a player that deserves it, because I think a lot of the time in the past we've had songs for players that have been sort of our piss takes. Like last season, we were singing Vincent Janssen, "He Scores When He Wants," things like
which
that.
Which weren't often, John. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he just chose not to score. I think what it was. And, you know, we had songs for players like Didier Zakora and Pascal Chimbonda and players like that back in the day. Little absolute pony compared to the players that we've got nowadays. So that was nice to see. And for him to come out afterwards and say that it gave him goosebumps was lovely. Oh. Just every time you see him speak or you see him smiling, you just want to give him a cuddle.
You do.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I love the bloke.
I say now, he's scored as many Premier League goals this season as Eden Hazard. I mean, he may not be, like I say, prolific, but John, that tells you the kind of company he's associated himself in. And I make that point, like I said to Jack, you know, if it was any other team out there, you know, top six, he'd be their star man, wouldn't he, John? Am I going over the top saying that?
I don't think you are going over the top. I think what it does do is that what you just said there just sort of magnifies the difference between someone being overrated and underrated, in my opinion. Now, I'm not digging out Eden Hazard because he plays for Chelsea. He's a quality player.
Yeah.
But he's had so many really long, prolonged periods of dipped form since he's been at Chelsea. That season when they finished 8th or 10th or whatever it was, he was nowhere. It's all well, they're the kind of players where it's going well, they're superb. But when the going gets tough, they go missing. And you can't do that about Sonny.
No.
And most of our squad, to be fair.
No, you can't. Let me ask you one question, John, before we move it on. Andrew Griffiths asks, if Harry Kane is out for a period, would you start Sonny up front or Llorente and keep Sonny in midfield? What do you make of that question?
Well, considering we've now got Lamella back and obviously Lucas Moura has not really had too much of a chance recently, I would say that, you know, Sonny is going to score more goals than Llorente, given the same amount of minutes on the pitch, in my opinion. And I think Pochettino agrees with that, to be fair. Like we said, he could have bought Llorente on yesterday and he didn't. So I would say that because we've got better options sort of behind the striker, it's kind of less important now. Because it's not like, you know, in the 90s when we literally had two players. If Anderton and Sheringham weren't on it, then we were stuffed. It's a lot different to that
now.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Lamella came on and made a massive difference.
Yeah.
So, and Lamella's going to have a more positive impact on the game, I would say, than Llorente at the minute. And I think Llorente's problem is that he is a very much, you know, he can play one way. You know, what Sonny done yesterday, he come off the left, he's played as a centre-forward, he scored two goals. Llorente cannot do that. And we know that Pochettino likes a player to be versatile and to be able to be a jack-of-all-trades, but not just a jack-of-all-trades, but master-of-all-trades as well, because you're not watching that game yesterday going, oh, Son looks like a fish out of water player.
No, no, not at all.
Doesn't.
No.
He's a constant threat. He's a menace. And he's less of a static target than Llorente, which is probably easier to cope with as a centre-half. If you're, you know, the kind of ilk sort of stature of Francis and Cook and Ake and Daniels playing across the back four for Bournemouth yesterday, they're all quite big lads. So any balls into the air, they were coping well with. And it weren't until, you know, you start having to play... You know, we played differently after Kane went off. There's no getting away from it. And Son was perfect yesterday. I think it's going to be a real struggle for Llorente to get many more minutes than he would have done if Kane wasn't injured.
Yeah, I think that's an absolute fair analysis. I think you're spot on there, John. Yeah,
I wouldn't worry about it, honestly. Like I say, in the past, I would have worried about it, but I don't at the minute. And hopefully that faith isn't misplaced, but we'll soon find out.
Yeah, we will very much soon. We're going to speak about Swansea in just a second, but let me go back round to you, Jay, for a second and talk about Christian Eriksen. I mean, he was very much a key man in that midfield on Sunday, pulling all the strings in more of a deeper role, you would maybe argue. But he worked so hard off the ball and also freed Son, who went round the goalkeeper to claim his second of the game and effectively kill off the match. What did you make of Eriksen's performance, Jay?
Yeah, it's becoming quite an occurrence, isn't it, with Eriksen? He puts in these performances where you watch him and he's just the master of a football. Like wherever he wants to put that football, he can do it, and on any turn, on any angle. And some games he's just really on it, and he's another joy to watch. And just for the goal where he dragged all players away, I just thought, wow, that's just a testament to his footballing ability and his IQ. He's just a step ahead of everyone else when he gets the ball. And it's just a pleasure to have him at Tottenham and watch him week in, week out.
Do you think, Jack, coming around to you, do you think he gets enough credit for the work he does off the ball? Because he does put in the mileage, doesn't he?
This is something I sort of, when Pochettino's five-year anniversary or 200th game came up, it was something I looked at. And you looked at him as a player, you know, even early in Pochettino's time there, and he didn't move too much. But he's really come on, and the work he puts off the ball now, like you mentioned, is outstanding and makes a real difference to the way Pochettino wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, phenomenal player. So I tell you what, let's bring Swansea into the occasion then. So for this coming Saturday, Jack, let me stick with you. I mean, as far as I'm aware, we're going to go into this one with a hat-trick of injury worries. I think, obviously, Kane being the main one. But Ali and Rose also had to be substituted towards the end of that game. I know it's very early to tell. Coming into this Saturday, do you think we're going to have any likelihood of maybe Ali or Rose being available for this week?
It sounds like they'll both be available.
Okay.
Pochettino, after the game, sounded quite confident, said it wasn't really a problem. I'm not sure whether Ali will play or not, just with maybe... one eye on the international break, knowing that he's likely going to play either both, or if not both, one of those games. Though Pochettino won't take too much consideration of that, but it's something that will come onto his mind. But he didn't really seem too concerned. I'd imagine Ben Davies will start anyway, even if Rose was fit, just because I think now it is, if not the biggest, maybe Chelsea's the biggest, but it is one of the biggest games of the season.
It is, yep.
You get through here, and then you've got one semi-final effectively at home, and then the next game, if you get into the FA Cup final, you've still got that effective home advantage again, which, although it's only a season, will help. So I think that Ben Davies would have started anyway. It's a so-called bigger game. I think Kane is the only one that will be missing for anything longer than a week.
Okay, interesting. Thanks for that, Jack. Let me bring round to you, John. I mean, we also had the news, obviously, from the weekend that Jordan Ayew was sent off for Swansea, which means that he will miss the FA Cup quarterfinal against us. He scored in three of their last four home games. I think they did try and appeal the decision, or I think they decided not to appeal, so he definitely won't be available. That, I'm sure, John, will count in our favour quite nicely, not having him to worry about.
Well, you'd like to think so, but then, you know, what are the chances of Tammy Abraham coming in and playing well instead?
Well, that's the thing.
This is the thing. When you're talking about, especially this season and our FA Cup run so far, you can't count your chickens. No, I think, listen, they'll be looking at us and probably thinking they've got more of an advantage that our striker's missing than we would have by their striker missing, if you know what I mean. So it's one of them, isn't it? I think we go into this game probably as favourites, I would say, and you think that, you know, if the league table's anything to go by, then we should win. But that's not the way football is, and I'm frightened. I must admit, I'm scared to predict this one, because being the prophet of doom, if we do lose on Saturday, then you think that's, you know, season. All right, there's still stuff to play for. Obviously, there's still Champions League qualification to play for, and, you know, ensuring that St Tottenham's Day doesn't surface again this year, which hopefully it won't. So. But, you know, this FA Cup run feels more important and more massive than I can remember for a very, very long time.
Yes, possibly.
But then I'm sure it does for Chelsea and Man United as well, and for Southampton and for Brighton, because as soon as Wigan beat Man City, everyone else is going, cool, we got more of a chance here. And that's not to say that Man City can't be beaten, but obviously they're a very good side. And with them taken out of the equation, it means that obviously they can't win it, and one of the other teams who's left in it will. So, and God knows we've waited long enough.
We have indeed.
Let's hope that, you know, in 20 years' time they'll be still selling this season's shirt with the FA Cup winners embroidery on it, like they do for the old shirts of the past. So it's massive. It's massive. Listen, it doesn't fuss me who plays for Swansea. All I know is it's Swansea City against Tottenham Hotspur lunchtime Saturday. The rest, you know, whoever plays, whoever doesn't play, if Pochettino decides he wants to stick with his FA Cup goalkeeper or bring Lloris back in, I think that's more of a bigger issue for me, but we'll see. And like I say, it's a massive one. I really pray that we win.
Yeah, let me bring it round to you, Jay. I mean, what kind of team are you expecting Pochettino to put out, especially as you do have that 3 week? I mean, you know, it's a point there that John mentions that, you know, this FA Cup game, it seems like it's the biggest one for us in what's been years. I know we always say that, but you just get that feeling that, you know, everyone at the moment, all they keep saying to us, Jack, is, you know, what have you won? What have you won? What have you won? So, I mean, let me ask you, Jay, I mean, what do you think we can do in this competition? Can we go all the way? And what kind of team do you think Pochettino's going to put out?
It does seem really big for some reason. It just seems like this is, especially like what John said, with a Wigan result against City, that just blew it wide open. And
yeah,
I think with playing at Wembley, if we get to the semi-final, touch wood, that we, you know, it's all written for us, but we've got to get past Swansea first on Saturday, and it's a tough game. And with regards to the team selection and the week break, if it's anything but our strongest 11, I think that's an injustice.
Let me come round to you, Jack. I mean, there seems to be, like John has said there, there's an expectancy now about this FA Cup than there has been, you know, in years over Tottenham. Do you think this is, you know, the year, Jack, that we really have to kind of make and all go out all guns blazing for this competition?
I think so. I think it's that Pochettino's always been hesitant towards the Cup, but he did it at Southampton as well. And it's something that he really, I think he's starting to realise, you know, this is it now. It is the tournament. He doesn't want to look at, go out and say it, because if they go out again, then, you know, you get the whole line coming up again of what have you won, bottling it in a competition you cared about, etc., which is nonsense, but it's what will come out. I think it's something that he has to focus on. I think it's something that he need. It's the best chance you will have in years, whether you know, last year semi-final, whether you go back again in the next few years. This season, having had the season at Wembley, is the best chance Spurs will get in a long time, and it's something that all the focus should be put on, just to move another hoodoo, for use of a very apt word this season, to move that on as well.
Yeah, big game. Okay, let's get some predictions in. It is a horrible game to predict, and John, I hate to say it, I'm going to start with you, pal. What are you going to go for, John, for this coming Saturday, quarter final of the FA Cup against Swansea?
Oh dear, all I'm going to predict is that my arsehole will be doing as many beats per minute as my heart. Other than that, I don't want to say too much, mate, to be honest. You know, my predictions are always a bit wonky, so I'm not sure. Do you know what, as it's today, if you asked me today, and I was a neutral, I'd say, well, you'd think Spurs are going to win this. But I've got obviously such an emotional vested interest in what goes on Saturday. It's so important. You know, this is it now. It's all on this FA Cup. And if we could do it, you know, with home advantage, if you want to call it that, then, you know, it's the only time it's ever going to happen this season. So let's hope it does. It you know, ultimately pays dividends, because we have played every game away, if you like, this season. And you look at the league table and you see how well we've coped with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope that Spurs win, obviously, and I hope that it's not too difficult to watch. That's all I'm after.
Okay, fair enough. John leaving us open there. Let me come round to you, Jack. I mean, we've spoke about how important this game is for Tottenham. I mean, it would be great for us to go into the new stadium with that FA Cup shining. What do you think it's going to be, Jack? Can you give us a prediction?
I think Swansea will be difficult. They will make it tough, but I think they've got other things to focus on at the moment. It's still very tight at the bottom of the Premier League. The international break gives them a sort of excuse to play the full team, but it still won't be their main focus. And really, it should be one of those ones that Tottenham this season, especially away from home against sides of that stature, have done quite well where they haven't before. So I think it should be a comfortable one for Tottenham. Something like 2-0.
Okay, Jack, thank you very much for that. There you go, setting us on our way, a 2-0 win. And over to you, Jay. Are you going to be as confident as Jack there and stick your neck out and give us a positive prediction?
Yeah, maybe. I don't. It's quarter final at FA Cup, isn't it? So there is no replays, is there? It's extra time and penalties, right?
It will go all the way, unfortunately. Yep, it will go. There's nothing saving Tottenham to a penalty shootout, I'm afraid, Jack.
Yeah, it's just going to penalties.
Do that to us. Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Can we win it on penalties, though, Jack? Can we win it on penalties, do you think?
Yeah, of course we can.
Yeah, do you think
50-50.
Do you think the confidence is there in the squad to get through a penalty shootout? But to be fair, I think we won our last one. Well, I think we did win our last one all those years ago now. Such a long time ago we lost in a penalty shootout. What are you going to go for, Jack? Come on, give us a prediction.
I think we can win the game on the day, but it's just as big for Swansea as it is for us. It's especially a club of that stature. This is a big game for them. They'll be full of confidence. With Harry Kane injury, and like John said earlier, they'll be thinking, wow, that's more of an advantage to us than what it is we are out for them.
But do you think, Jack, like Jack just said also, is that with the case that, you know, relegation, they still haven't obviously got that sorted out yet. Do you think that might play a factor into the game in terms of who they might select?
Maybe, but as a Swansea fan, I wouldn't like to think so, especially with international break coming up. I don't know, it depends what they opt for. If they don't play the full strength squad, more fool them. I think we will. And yeah, I'm pretty confident, barring a penalty shootout.
Okay, we'll leave it as that. We won't push you anymore, because I can see this is going to be a tough one. Guys, I'm going to go with a 2-0 win. I think we will get over the line. I have to say, John, thank you so much for coming back on tonight. Great to have you two nights in a row, or two shows in a row, should I say, John.
That's all right, mate. No worries. Always a pleasure.
Oh, top man. We'll get you back on soon. Jack, thank you so much for making your debut tonight. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
No worries, mate. Thank you very much for having me.
Don't be silly. No problem. Hope we can get you back on soon. And also, I've got to say a massive thank you again. The other Jack, who's been called Jay for most of the evening. Jay, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Been a real pleasure having you.
No worries, mate. Thanks a lot.
Don't be silly. Pleasure's been all ours. Well, guys, we are going to be back next week, hopefully discussing Spurs progressing in the FA Cup. as always. Come on, you Spurs. Sports Social
Podcast Network. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.